Good morning. So happy to be able to bring God's word to you today. And as I was studying this week, I went through a devotional that the author wrote about the different ways that people respond to Jesus, all in just one chapter in the book of Matthew. So if you read chapter 9, you'll find that the people in verse 8 were in awe of Jesus when he healed the paralytic. Matthew, was the tax collector, was called to follow him, and he even invited his friends to meet Jesus in verses 9 and 10. He was sought after by the woman who had an issue of blood in verses 19 through 22, and they laughed at Jesus in verse 23 through 26 when he said he was coming to pray for the daughter who was just sleeping, and he raised her from the dead. And then there was a group, or the two blind guys, who pursued after Jesus because they wanted healing for their sight in verses 27 through 31. And everyone around there marveled at the power he possessed in verses 32 through 33. But then in verse 34, there were those who criticized him, saying that his power came from the prince of demons. All in one chapter. All these different responses. So it's important to realize that responding to Jesus does not always have a positive connotation. But it does always align with the person who's responding to him. When we take and place Christ as the priority or the main focus of our lives, then we find ourselves on target. Crosshairs. And then we know that God has created us to have a choice. He never forces himself on us, but is always longing for us to come back in right relationship with him. He moved the access point from the temple holy of holies that was secluded only for the priest to his son, so that we all might have access to the Father. That sermon bumper said that he will call all men to him. He will draw all men. It's not us in our persuasive speeches. It is the power of Christ that will draw all people to him. Today we're going to further respond to Jesus by declaring him as the head of the church. That's us. Not this building. Us. And since we are the body, we have to know how we can fulfill our part in serving him as our Lord and Savior. Frank Viola wrote, "To be the subject of the headship of Jesus is to respond to his will regarding the life and practices of the church. Submission to the head of Christ, or headship of Christ, includes obtaining God's mind through mutual ministry." You saw all those people up here. Mutual ministry. "And sharing and obeying the Holy Spirit through the mutual subjection and servanthood, and testifying to Jesus Christ collectively through the mutual sharing and corporate witness." Hear that? Mutual. That's all of us together doing that. Jesus is to be the Lord of the individual first, and then to be the head or the headmaster of the corporate body. When we have all of these things in alignment, then we are truly functioning as God desires us to be. So let's see today what God's word has to say about, first, Christ is the head; second, we are the body; and third, the hard part, we have to submit. So Christ as the head. Let's stand for the reading of God's word as we go to Colossians chapter 1, and we're reading verses 15 through 20. I'm reading from the New Living Translation that says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all, and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this day. And it's just reinforcing that you are our all in all. And we are in awe of you with that power and grace that you've given to us. That even when we mess things up, you still desire to be in relationship with you. You woo us and go after us and just love on us, wanting to restore us back to you so that we can be fully effective in reaching others to Christ. And we thank you and give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, if you guys will remember back a few years ago when Jerry first came, he always talked about the preeminence of Christ. And the New Living here calls it supreme. Now, I'm not talking about Diana Ross and the Supremes. I'm talking, you know, not backup singers. I'm talking about supreme. When you go to the gas station, you're given three options: regular, premium, and supreme. So good, better, best. I know that many of you probably have seen that commercial about it's good enough. You know, well, how's this doctor? Oh, he's good. How is this tax planner? Oh, he's good. You don't want just good. You want the best. Well, if we want the best in those areas of our life, why not in the spiritual area of our life? If Christ is supreme, he is the very best. Above all. And if you look on in Psalm 118, verse 22, it also tells us that he is the chief cornerstone. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20 says, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ himself." And then in 1 Peter 2:4 it says, "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor." How many of you know that if you don't start with a level surface, things are going to be tilting one way or the other? Christ is that level, steady, rock-solid cornerstone that sets the foundation for how everything else is going to line up. And everything else is going to be built up. It'll be strong and secure. This past summer, I took on the endeavor of expanding off my shed and building a lean-to. And I had some help with people come out, and they drilled the holes for me so I didn't have to dig them with post hole diggers. And I thought I had everything lined up. And I was just off by 4 inches. So my lean-to is a lean-to. And I could have tore it all down, but I'm going, you know what? It's just a protection. But that's the way we're doing sometimes with our lives. We could have said, no, I need to redo this and get it back right with Christ. But we're going, oh, it's good enough. It's okay. I can be happy with this. But why be happy with something that is half done or half accomplished in our lives when we can become fully alive in Christ? When He is the head, there are so many benefits. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. And read verses 15 through 23. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future He has promised to those He called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance He has given to His people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in all the world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and He gave Him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything everywhere with His presence. We just sang, He does all things. He works all things. But how many times have we said that statement but never really took it and applied it to our lives? I love that one part here where it says, who fills everything, everywhere with His presence. You know, even when you make a building out of brick and mortar, that mortar is there to fill in and hold things together. So that, imagine that is the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You may have a solid life, but then the Holy Spirit coming in and filling in all the gaps. There are no cracks. There are no crevices. There's no open places that the devil can get in and cause problems. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is in your life. The church we were at in North Carolina, there was a sweet family. But they felt that every time that anything was wrong, they had to call the pastor to come pray, that no one else could do it. And one time they called us because a moth had went into their son's ear. And wanted the pastor to come and pray that it would come out. These are things, though, that I really appreciate what the pastor said to him. He goes, you know what? Have you prayed over them? Have you prayed that it would come out? Well, we were waiting for you. He said, no, you have the same power. It's not different levels of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You've accepted Jesus. The Holy Spirit is living in your life, leading and guiding you. But again, that level depends on how much you want to give in. How much are you giving it control? It says that God appointed Him and placed all things under His feet. So is there any situation in your life that God can't handle? And He also says that it is the power of God that is at work in each of us. and that we are made full and complete in Him. Those are all promises you can stand on, folks. You can take that to the bank every day of the week. And that's how we need to be living our lives each and every day. But it can only happen when we place Christ as the head of us. And not just because we are the church, right? But then when we come together, we have to be doing all things in submission to Him. Secondly, there's the importance of realizing that we are the body. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value for how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of His body, and each of you has different work to do. And since we are all one body of Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others." So today, to help illustrate the importance of needing each other, I would like to introduce to you, you've heard of Penn and Teller? You've heard of maybe Captain and Tennille? Sonny and Cher? But when it comes to a master chef, this guy is known as the messy chef. But I want to introduce to you today Chef Pierre and his protege, Kumquat.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Kumquat, you forgot something. Whipped cream. So, I've asked Chef Pierre to come out here and help you to realize what it really takes to make a hot fudge sundae. So, Chef Pierre, can you tell me what ingredients are important here?
So, first we have the base ice cream, chocolate chip, and then the extra creamy, got to get the extra creamy whipped cream, the decadent chocolate syrup, and some sweet cherries. Of course, got to have a wonderful glass to put it in, and you need something to serve up this ice cream. So, I'm going to have my assistant today. He is in training, so please be patient with him. He is going to be my arms, and I'm going to be his eyes. And we are going to... other side. There you go. Okay. Okay. Here we go. So, first, we grab... Yes, that's my belly. I like ice cream. I like ice cream. First, we grab the dish. Yep, uh-huh. And...
I'll get it.
Okay, thank you. And the chocolate syrup. So first you put, many people do this wrong. They want to put just the chocolate on top, but you always, there you go, yep. But if you line the glass with chocolate, then you get a nice, even base of chocolate. Oh, little over, twist. Yep, that's good. You always got to sample the product. Uh-huh. I'm good. So, ooh, very rich. perfect for ice cream. All right. So then we take the ice cream scoop to my right. Yep. And then scoop the ice cream out to a little bit further. Nope, that's my belly. The bucket. There you go. Nice big scoop. And that forms the base of the fudge. Hot fudge sundae. One more scoop. Let's not be stingy. All right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get in there. Get in there. Yep. Uh-huh. 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 That looks delicious. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, sample the product. Okay. Now, we need the whipped cream again. Yep. Whipped cream. Nope.
No more chocolate?
You're going to have to switch. Chocolate goes on top of the whipped cream.
Oh.
You gotta trust the chef.
Okay.
A little bit further. Little bit further. There you go. All right. Now I put the whipped cream on top. Nope. Shake it up. Yep. You gotta always shake it up. Up. Oh. All right, yep, that's up the nose. Okay. Then we're done with the whipped cream, thank you. The whipped cream goes away. All right, the chocolate syrup, one more time. Right there. And we're just going to squat a little bit on top and drench it. There you go. Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. All right. Yeah, more chocolate. Okay. Save some for later. All right, and then we've got the cherries. That's the creme de la creme that goes on top, the finishing touch. Almost. Nope. All right, well, let's just put one on the sundae. Probably stop eating so many sundaes and make it easier. And then lastly, we're going to get... Wow, that was weird. Alright, switch hands and get the spoon so we can sample the final product. Dip and go. Sink it. Ah. One more bite. There we go. Oh, what? And that, my friends, is how? How you make a hot fudge sundae.
There's a towel to the right.
And my friend, come back.
You've heard it said once. I'll say it again. You never trust a skinny chef. But as you could see, the body wasn't really cooperating with what the head was trying to convey. And sometimes that's what we as a church like to do. We try to get out ahead of what the head is telling us to do. Or we come up with our own ideas of what we should be doing when if we would just listen and become that living sacrifice. Not my will, but your will be done. You know, it's not for us to come up with our own creative ideas. It is really us seeking God's face and asking Him to lead us and guide us. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 14 through 27. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, what would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would we hear? Or if your whole body was just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with greatest care. So we are careful to protect the eye of other part from the other parts. Oh, I'm sorry. We carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts we do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members can care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate necessary part. Here, and it goes on to give a list of the different parts that are available there. But it's important for us to realize that we don't decide which part we will be. It is God who designed us. And we should not be comparing ourselves to each other, because God created us to be a specific part of the body. How important is the little toe on your foot? It's one of those things that helps keep you balanced. You ever find yourself starting to stumble and it's like your toes all spread out, and then that's that little guy that stops you from falling over? So, when you're walking in the dark and you hit the corner of the cabinet with that little guy, who feels it? The whole body. We're all important. And we all have a part and a place. And I was talking with Amy Abrams this week as our Sunday school class is studying 1 Corinthians right now. And so I asked her, you know, what's your take on this? And she said verse 18 is the one that jumps out at her, where it says, but God made our bodies with many parts, and he puts each part just where he wants it. And she said that really spoke to her, because there's so many times that we find ourselves comparing ourselves with other people, and that's not what God wants us to do. Oh, I wish I could look like that, or I wish I could do that, or I wish I could sing, or I wish I could teach that class or stand up in front of people. No, what has God called you to do? Where has he placed you in the body? I know people who do not want to stand up front, but they're the first one I call when I have a prayer need, because they'll pray, they'll fall on their knees and go to the Father on my behalf. I know other people that don't like to sing in the choir, but they'll be the first one to bake a pie to bring to a meal, because that's their gifting and their talent, hospitality. I did the funeral for my uncle yesterday, and one of the memories that came back was how, I don't care if who you are, my uncle would bring you in and welcome you to his home. That was his person, his gifting. It didn't matter if you were a stranger or a friend. And that was what my cousins remembered about their dad. So whatever the thing might be in your life that is your gifting and your talent, don't let other people push you into something that you know that what God has called you to do. We had dinner with Kenton this last week, and we were talking about college debt and all that kind of stuff, that now he's out and he's having to pay those things. But he said, I wouldn't do it any other way. God's providing for me to be able to pay these things back. And I know that it was his plan for me to go to Cedarville. And if we had looked at the money as the only thing holding him back, then he wouldn't be there. But he said, but God will provide. And he has been. We also need to continue to value every part of the body. It's not a thing of, well, I have this title or I have this title. If you've ever been around Jerry or myself, it's not about the titles. Jesus was very clear when he spoke to his disciples. He said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to be a servant of all. And God has brought this body of believers together to serve God and to bring him glory. Not glory to First Baptist, but glory to the kingdom of God. So how does that all take place? We have to submit. Ephesians 5:21 says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Reverence is defined as an honor or respect felt or shown. It's deference. And it's profound, adoring, awed respect. Putting others ahead of ourselves. It is so tough sometimes. Especially if we feel like we're being used or abused. But you know what? I have to listen to what God's telling me to do. I'm submitting to him and to his will. For you see, we make the choice. No one's twisting our arm. No one's forcing us. But we make the choice to serve God. If you turn to James chapter 5 and read verses 5 through 8. It says, what do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit whom God has placed within us jealously longs for us to be faithful? He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires, as the scripture says. God sets himself against the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. But who has to do the submitting? I can't force you. That's why there are so many scriptures in today's message. Because I'm telling you what God's word said. It's not, well, Ken said, da-da-da-da-da-da. No. It's God. He gave us the choice. He always has, and he always will be. In Joshua 24:15, he said, choose you this day who you will serve. So even in the Old Testament, they were given a choice. And then in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 16, he says that you cannot serve both God and money. In the Old Testament, they had all these idols that were popping up everywhere. But in our modern day time, we find that the idols that we're faced with can become the boat or the cabin or the money or the job title. And if those things go ahead and are placed before Jesus as King and Lord of our life, then it's like driving blindfolded. If you go back and read again Romans chapter 12, those first two verses, brothers and sisters, I write about the special abilities that the Holy Spirit has given each of you, for I must correct, oh, wrong one. I'm reading Corinthians. Romans, back one more. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. It's important to realize, it's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. The reason it's living is so you'll be able to serve. Secondly, you're allowing God to transform us and not the world. Because the world is not looking out for you, folks. But God is. And the result of you submitting to him is for God to say, it is good. Called good by God. It's morally honorable. It's pleasing to God. It's beneficial. That's why we have to stay in this every day. We forget. We let other things come in and just distract us. But this brings us back on focus. We have to daily die to self and daily get our focus on the cross to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. That is the ultimate meaning of submission. Surrendering what you want to say or what you want to do by saying, not my will, but yours. Jesus did that. Jesus did that in the garden. That human side of him was saying, hey, there's got to be another way. Please God. And it was like, but if there's no other way, not my will, but yours be done. He is always looking for a way for us to be restored to the Father. He is always wanting us to realize that we are never going it alone. He is always beside us in every situation. And with Christ as the head, his vision is so much clearer because he's up here looking down. And he can see the whole picture. So that even though we may be going through a dark spot, that's why James tells us to count it all joy. Because the head sees that we're going to make it through. There's a song from a long time ago that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. It didn't say sometimes. It says through it all. So today I presented God's word, and I need to ask you, how will you respond? How will you respond to Jesus and what he's telling you to do? I know in this world there are some who may not see a need for the church or their faith, or they even say that Jesus is just a crutch. And there are others who may really have a hard time letting go of the control. But I'm praying that you've realized that I need to let go and let God have complete, to have control of it all. So whatever your response is, I could get up here and have Cindy play this song that's just wooing and calling, and I could, you know, even get down and cry and beg, but it's the Holy Spirit that's at work right now in your life. I'm not going to try and manipulate anything, but what I am saying is, what is your heart saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying to your heart? For if we want to be the church body that God is calling us to be, we have to submit. But it's also important for you to realize that you are never doing this alone. That you have a church body that's around you, that loves you and will support you